Kia ora koutou and welcome to South Pacific Muscle. We're joined today by one of our bikini pros, Mariska Reutz. So welcome on board, Mariska. How are you?
I'm really good, thanks yourself.
Yeah, awesome. Hey, really good to have you. Mariska and I, Mike, were having a talk. We thought it'd be great to start the show off with the national anthem. I'm fucking tone deaf as shit. Mariska's from South Africa, so Mike, you're gonna have to sing it. You're singing it, buddy.
Have you heard me sing?
No, let's cut that. Let's not go there.
We can overdub me later.
Yeah. Hey, how you been anyway, Mike?
Me? Yeah. I'm living the dream, mate. Down here, lockdown's great for me. You know, I've got the cardio in the garage. I've got excesses and weights. It's just eating my food, doing my training. If I didn't have to look after my three kids, it might be bliss, you know, but I taught them to play Monopoly, so I got some posing practice in today.
Mike, you can't pull out the kids, bro. There's only one person that was responsible for that, and that sure as shit is. Look in the mirror, brother. Sounds really good. Anyway.
She was powerless for my masculine wiles. She had no choice in it.
I want to kick off, but first, for those that don't know much about Mariska, I'm going to ask Mariska to give us a bit of a rundown of where she's from, originally from South Africa, how she arrived here, early sports days, and a little bit about how she got into her early days with competing.
Awesome. Okay, so yeah, I'm originally from South Africa, and I moved to New Zealand about 5 years ago. And honestly, my bodybuilding only started in New Zealand about 8 months since I arrived in New Zealand. But it started off with my husband. He wanted to do bodybuilding. He wanted to be one of those big guys. And I was very supportive, but honestly, definitely not into it. It wasn't me. But I got my personal training degree, started studying, and I changed the way I exercise. And people started noticing me in the gym and approached me and said, hey, you need to compete. And I'm like, nah, not my thing, you know? And more people started approaching, and this one guy literally didn't want to stop. He's like, you need to compete. And I'm like, yeah, dude, you know, it's not me. And the more people approached me, the more I started thinking, maybe I should just give it a try. So we decided on, okay, I'm going to do a show. Then New Zealand happened. So we packed up all our stuff, sold everything back home, moved to New Zealand. And about 8 months into New Zealand, I did my first pro show, and I was the Pro-Am in 2017. And I got my pro card under the guidance of Angelica Teixeira in 2019, exactly the same show.
Wow, that's a big name to have in your corner.
Yeah, it is. And yeah, she literally took me under her guidance again going into the States.
Wow, that's cool, man. That's really cool. Like, I mean, I follow bikini loosely, but the top names, you know, like when you hear a name like that, you're like, wow,
yeah,
you know, you're mixing with the right people. So must be amazing, having come such a long way in a relatively short time frame. But I guess that shows the value of having someone that's really in the know to help guide you on your journey and tell you what you need to do.
Yeah, well, I've tried since I started. I actually went into my first show placing fifth between 89 girls. I trained myself. And then I did the second show and, you know, I got in contact with Taryn McCall. She was my nutritionist for a very long time. And I had a few people that, you know, that coached me, and I just felt it wasn't a good suit. Yep. And then I saw Angelica and I reached out to her and I said, hey, you know what, I want to be under you. And, you know, she said, okay, tell me more about you. She looked into my competitions, and at that stage of her career, she just didn't want to take on anyone. She really wanted to think that if she takes this person is going to show that, you know, they can bring her name even higher. Mm-hmm. You know, she didn't want to coach someone and then they don't succeed. So she's like, yep, you know what? I'm happy. I'll take you on. Let's start prepping. And yeah, I was under her guidance, and she even surprised me by flying all the way from the States to be in New Zealand for that show.
Wow. Hey, man, that's really cool, man. I'm kind of like a little bit jealous. Like, a, you know, like, it's a good story. Oh, yeah. Well. Hey,
she handed me my pro card as well. So that was even better.
Nice. And looking back through your Instagram photos, you've made sort of spectacular progress. And since she was working with you, you can really see the differences in your physique as you scroll back through the photos.
Yeah, definitely. Honestly, feel like going into the States, that was like the best package I've ever brought into, you know, into competing. And we're not done. Like, as soon as we're out of level 4 lockdown or going into level 2, she's going to do my off season with me as well.
Nice. Hey, for those that aren't following, and there's probably not many of you, but you need to get following Mariska. So Mariska Reutz _IFBB Pro. There's some cool pictures up here, some neat pictures from the States. And we're going to talk about the States pretty soon, but got a couple there from Nashville, and man, that's good. And a couple, I think, from you did the Texas as well, eh?
Yes, Texas Pro in Dallas.
How good was the Texas Pro? Like, that screams to me of a show that you got to go to.
It was the best show I've ever done in my whole life. Yeah. And I've done a couple now, and like, even Ashley was there, Ashley Coltswater. It was the best show. Like, no show can top this one. It's going to be pretty hard to beat.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, Dallas is a show, you know, that the Texas Pro is one that people do talk very, very highly of, particularly, you know, from a men's bodybuilding perspective. I've always had a real interest in it, because it's got a reputation for, you know, a bit like New York, you know, they're like the big guys. But it's certainly an all-round, it's a massive show. So how many bikini pros were on stage at that Texas and the following show? Yeah,
in Dallas there was 28 girls, and in Nashville there was 36.
Ooh, that's big classes.
Yeah, and it was big names as well.
Yeah, who's some of the names, just while we're name dropping, who was on stage in those shows?
So one of the most popular girls, I would say, was Ashley, being at the Dallas, and then Jennifer Dory and Brina Martinez was at the Nashville show. Wow. And that's like some of the biggest names out there.
And how was it standing next to those people? Because I can imagine, you know, for you, you know, it wasn't that long ago that you were looking up to those people as idols, and you know, the way we look at the pro bodybuilders, but then to stand amongst them and realize, well, I'm actually in the mix here. How did that feel?
Yeah. Pretty awesome. Like, you know, it felt like I actually felt at home. Like, it wasn't overwhelming. It wasn't like, oh my gosh, I'm standing next to me. You don't, you know, you're not freaking out and like, oh, what the hell am I doing? And like, I don't belong yet. It actually felt like I belong. And, you know, with a little bit of work, a little bit of feedback that I wanted, I can come back even stronger and, you know, really crush it between these girls. So yeah, it was amazing. Like, it was truly, it was a wonderful experience.
Yeah.
So for most of us who never do a pro show or travel overseas to compete, what's it like from sort of woe to go, as far as, you know, you sign up to do the show, you know, who books the flights, accommodation, do you sort all it yourself? Are you sort of looked after when you're there? Did you have to sort out your quarantine before you left? All the mechanics of kind of getting to and doing one of those shows, what's that like?
Oh man, let's start at the beginning. So I was meant to do the Australian show and everything was going as planned, you know, Angelica and I had this whole peak week planned out, and Saturday night she's like, you know what, have a cheat meal, send me photos and we'll see how it goes. And just to be announced on that Saturday night that from Sunday we're in the quarantine, you know, in 7-day lockdown in Auckland, and I couldn't fly out to Australia at all to do my show. I was like 7 days out of my show. So that's where it all started. And
sure, there's a few, like, people who can sympathize about that, with the announcements that our show's being cancelled.
Damn, it was really tough. Like, even I was crying just watching the Australian girls, you know, slaying it on the stage. It was really bad, but I was so, you know, I was proud that they really got the opportunity to do that. But then Angelica's like, okay, you know what, you need to come to the States. And I'm like, okay, Elite Steward, I haven't done it before. You know, that is the stepping ground for all pro athletes. You know, you need to make a name for yourself in the States to actually be seen, to be known, and to put your name out there. So I'm like, okay, let's do this. So we looked in April, and it was no back-to-back shows in April. We went into May and we decided to do the New York Pro and another show that was just after that. And for 2 weeks straight, I struggled to get quarantine because the quarantine was fully booked. So I had to wait for someone to cancel so I can grab their spot. But there's 1,000 other people looking at exactly the same date.
Oh, wow.
So it was 2 weeks of a nightmare. Like, if I go to bed, I'm like, oh man, should I stay a little bit, like 5 minutes longer, just to see if there's maybe a spot available? Did I make a mistake? Did I go to bed too early? You know, you kind of question yourself the whole time. And after 2 weeks, I approached Angelica. I'm like, I'm not sleeping. I'm stressed out. Like, I'm really freaking out. Let's not do this. You know, what do we do? And she's like, okay, I wanted to contact you because I am hosting the Texas Pro Show in Dallas and I want you to do it. So I'm like, okay, that sounds good. And she's like, yeah, it's going to be a way off because we're only in April and now we need to stretch it all the way till June before we start prepping. So, you know, we're going to dial it back and then just to start prepping again. So I'm like, okay, you know what you're doing. Let's do this. And so it was quite easy because I was waiting for the quarantine dates to become available. So as soon as it came available, I booked my spot right away. After booking the spot, you have like 72 hours to book your flight. So I did that immediately just so I can get the flights out of the way. And with that, you start, you know, booking your hotel, start booking your hair and makeup. And, you know, I just did everything like in a 2 week basis, just not to stress myself out, but no, I have a box that I'm ticking off. But Katja Nasoro in New Zealand was really helpful. She told me what to do, what airlines to book through if you do national shows, because she's from New Zealand, so she knows. And but going over, I had no support from anyone. I had to do everything myself over there. You know, I literally had to sort out myself my own accommodation, my own transport, my own food. I bought myself this little frying pan, electric frying pan, that I can make all my food in. And I think the hardest thing in Dallas, because everything is so spread out, is to get a place where everything is like together. But it ended up that I had to Uber this way and then Uber that way just to try and get everything together.
Wow.
So yeah, it was quite a mission.
Sound like a bit of an adventure.
It was. Yeah. It was. Yeah. Never a dull moment.
Cool.
And really want it.
Yeah. How was the lead up in the couple of days going before the first show? How were you kind of feeling, you know, going into it? Were you nervous? Were you excited? Just busy doing what you had to do? Or how did those days play out?
It was kind of interesting. So I actually went to visit a old family friend for 3 days leading into the show. So I arrived on a Sunday and he came to pick me up and I stayed with him till the Thursday before he dropped me off in Dallas in the morning. And he doesn't understand anything about bodybuilding or why I need to eat the certain food or why it can't be made with butter or oil. So it was really interesting. But I kind of winked that three days. Like, all I knew is I had to get my meals in and I made sure I got my meals in. Everything was prepped, everything was cooked. And if I run out, I'm like, uncle, I need to go to the shops again. And he's like, why? And I'm like, because I need this. And he's like, I don't understand why you keep changing your program. So, and then like, he's like, okay, we're going to take you early in the morning so you can do your exercise and we can plan our day. And it never ended up that way. So I ended up being at the gym every day at 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
It must be quite unusual for someone that doesn't live the bodybuilding lifestyle to suddenly get exposed to someone that's operating at professional bodybuilding level, and all the things that we just take for granted, you know, that We eat every 2 hours. We've got to shop every day. We're cooking half the day. You know, we sleep when we sleep, and we train when we train. And to someone on the outside, they must just go, these guys are borderline crazy, you know?
Yeah, he couldn't understand it. He's like, honestly, I tried to explain a few times, but he's like, you guys are crazy. Like, that's insane. Why are you doing that?
Yeah, I wonder. Hey, Mike, I know you had a couple of questions that you wanted to ask Mariska.
Yeah, one is, you mentioned your husband and his bodybuilding aspirations. I'm getting together a support group for men whose wives are much better at bodybuilding than them. So maybe if you give me his contact details, you can get the support group together. I'm interested in what you're doing as far as training now. We interviewed Katia, and she was doing all sorts of sort of hotel room workouts. She was even posting a few of those on Instagram. So we've heard a lot of talk recently about how hard the bikini girls train. And I know Nathan gets put to work by one of them on legs every week. So what are you doing to kind of maintain and sort of work yourself at the moment?
Well, honestly, I really thought I'm going to get my steps in on a daily basis, but it's not going to be working out for me at all, especially with, you know, this whole nose running business and cutting bands. But I wake up in the morning, I do like a 15 minute HIIT circuit where I just try and burn as much calories, because I'm not moving. My room is really small, and the space that I work out is also very small and limited. So I do my HIIT training in the morning, like fasted, then I have my breakfast, and then I'll literally do another HIIT circuit just before lunch and another one just before dinner. And in between, like every second day or every other day, I'll just do some glute exercises. Like I have my pump up bands, I have my glute bands. So I just do like a mini circuit, but unfortunately I don't have any weights or anything, you know, to really push through it, but I just try and activate it and keep that activation going.
And to be fair, you've been going pretty hard since April, February? Your body could probably do with a bit of a rest.
Since January.
Yeah.
We haven't had a rest since January. So it's been since January, I've exercised 6 days a week, and leading into the show about 12 weeks out, we went into 7 days a week.
Mm.
Yeah. Ooh. So hey, I think my body needed a rest.
I want to go away from the physical stuff and talk about the mental stuff. I've found lockdown pretty good until about today, and I've sort of found that I'm starting to miss people and people contact and you know, face-to-face conversations, drinking a coffee with friends, that kind of thing. And I kind of thought about your position, actually being in a quarantine facility and being very limited in terms of being able to go outside. At least for me, I can walk outside and just wander down the beach by myself. But what is quarantine actually like in terms of what you can and can't do, and how do you deal with it mentally and keep yourself focused to do those workouts without pulling your hair out, I suppose?
Well, to be honest, it is getting, like, in the beginning, well, I hadn't had the best sleeping pattern since I've been in America, or especially in the last couple of, like, that last week in America. I think the time zone from Dallas to Nashville kind of messed me up, but that was really hard. So when I got you in the first 3 days, all I wanted to do is just sleep. So I got through my days by sleeping and just resting and really recovering from, you know, really going hot for such a long time, and, you know, pushing through, waking up early in the morning to do my check-ins and make sure everything's on point. But today I feel like I want to pull out my hair because I'm extremely bored, and like they treat you like you're a prisoner. You're not allowed, as soon as you get out, like they knock on your door to do health checks. They do quite a lot of health checks during the day, and like every single day they do health checks.
What does a health check entail? What do they do? They just check you physically, or they swabs and things? What do they do?
So on a health check, they come and take your temperature like twice a day. And if you have like a runny nose, like yesterday when I told them I have a runny nose, they do like a heartbeat, like to see how's your heart doing. And they do that by, you know, sticking those machines on your fingertips.
Yeah, yeah.
But so as soon as you say you have a symptom, they treat you different. But as soon as you, like, just a normal health check is just taking your temperature and noting that down, asking you how you're feeling. Do you have any of these symptoms? You know, the normal COVID symptoms. And then they just say, okay, how are you doing? Do you need, they call me on a daily basis to say, hey, do I need any well-being, like mental health or something, you know, talk to someone. And luckily my husband calls me like every single day, about twice a day for an hour. So cool. I feel like I don't really need to talk to anyone else.
Yay. Shout out to hubby. Well done, hubby. Yeah. You're doing good. Yeah. Hey, so what, and you got a band recently, you got a blue band, which meant you're allowed to do some exercise. What does that let you do?
Okay, so that means you get a timetable. So everyone has different color, like everyone has a blue band, but everyone has, like if you're from LA, so I flew from LA to Auckland. So then I was in a purple band, purple column. So that means that anyone in that column is allowed to go in that specific time. Yesterday it was between 9:05 and 9:50 that we were allowed outside, and no one else from other, you know, other flights were allowed out at that time. And you're only allowed in that specific time. You need to come up before that time is over, because then the next people start coming down for the next group. And all you do is, like, let's say the hotel is in, like, this is the line of the front of the hotel. So all you do is you walk like this, turn around and walk the other way, like the whole time, just in a circle.
Oh, no.
That's your activity.
Yeah, look, that's
only, they could have a wheel for you to push around. You could turn into Conan or something.
Man, it sounds like a grind. But look, I think, you know, anyone that is considering competing on that pro circuit, you know, I've talked to other guys that have had their shows. They were going to do the Australian pro. I think they were going to do the one at Fit Expo.
Yeah.
Fitspo. And that's been canned. So I said, honestly, just bite the bullet and go to the States, do a couple of back-to-back shows, and then soak up 2 weeks quarantine. And the guy said, what you've got to factor into is the cost of doing all that. He said, you know, it's actually ramped the costs of being able to do that up further. So, you know, I guess there's that consideration for a lot of people as well.
It's not just that, it's the fact that, you know, if you're heading to the States, your flight alone has doubled the price already.
Yeah.
So it's more expensive flying there and back. Then you have your hotel quarantine.
Yeah.
You need to take in consideration when you come into this hotel quarantine. Like, they've been really accommodating over here, especially with my meals.
Yep.
I've told them, hey, I'm really hungry. I eat like 6 to 7 meals a day, and now I'm only getting 3. So, you know, what can you sort out? And they decided to give me double portions, you know, to make up for that, you know, extra meal that I need to have on the side. But yeah, so I mean, like, they need to take that in consideration, because most hotels won't allow that.
Yeah.
And they need to take in consideration when you're traveling, you need to make all your food, get all your food ready when you travel back. What food is not allowed, make sure you declare it if you bring anything in. You know, it's not just that, we're also arriving in the States. There is precautions in certain areas, like you need to wear a face mask when you use an Uber or a taxi or something. Everything is closed. So, you know, they have COVID restrictions. When you book a hotel, what happened to me on my last day in the States, I booked a hotel with a continental breakfast, because I'm like, man, I'm gonna eat. And got there, because of COVID, they don't allow any breakfast at all. So they don't serve it.
That would have been heartbreaking, because you'd have been looking forward to that. Oh, no way.
Yeah, I was looking forward to a nice big buffet breakfast, and yeah, that got taken away from me.
Yeah, that's a killer. I've had that. I got given a refeed meal, and it was, and I had this big plan of what I was going to have, and then it was a COVID thing, and it was like, make your own hamburger, buddy, and I was like, it's not the same.
It isn't. Not at all. I mean, a lot of country, like being over there, I've stayed at a few places, and you can see the places are struggling. They, you know, the hotels are struggling, the businesses are struggling, but I mean, like walking out in Nashville, it's a hot zone for COVID, but no one is wearing masks. It's like they're just living their life. They're like, oh yeah, well, we have COVID, so we just deal with it. We're not going to stop living. They don't stop living. They live their life. Like, they party. Like, there was party buses going all the way. Everyone was drinking, live bands everywhere you go, no restrictions. Everybody's just like, this is our life we're living.
Yeah, I kind of find it really weird that, and then even Australia to an extent, you know, you've got different areas of the country. Some are locked down like New Zealand. Others are kind of still free for all, like, you know, you say, you know, like Texas, Florida, you know, all open season, whereas other places are shut right down. So it's kind of weird, like, to not have a single approach across the country. I guess that's what happens when you've got, you know, states. So, yeah.
I kind of feel that, you know, even though the states, the cases are quite the climbing, but they made it work. Like, they're, for me, it's working. Like, if me as an outsider being there in the country where everything is, you know, there's millions dying, there's hundreds getting the COVID, but the way they do it, just living their life, they're like, we're not that it is going to restrict our life because, you know, it's too late. It's already there. It's already, you know, blown out of proportion, but they just decided, you know, it's our lives. We're going to take it back and we're going to live it because life is too short. And honestly,
I think we would have a lot of people probably feeling the same way. I'm not going to talk too much about that stuff because, like, it's so polarizing. You know, I made a couple of comments today and I think I upset a lot of people, but, you know, hey, that's life. Right. Hey, one of the guys that follows us, young guy Damien, he wanted to know the question. He had a question for you. He wanted to know whether your training approach was more about volume or more about intensity. How do you structure your training?
I would say in the beginning it was more about volume. It was really pushing through. When it came to after the Australian, we decided to hit a stronger approach. So it was more intensity. I mean, like, I was doing 70 minutes cardio. Out of that 70 minutes cardio, I had 15 minutes HIIT intensity, like a HIIT training session, where I had to do 30 second sprints on and 30 seconds off all the time for the whole 15 minutes. And then after that, like 20 minute incline walking, but it's like every other day. Yep. So the intensity was really there, you know, struggling through, pushing through. And we actually went quite hard at it all the way through till Texas Pro.
Yep.
But when we came after Texas Pro, after getting the feedback that, you know, my upper body was really hard, we need to get a fuller volume into my body. We completely slowed it down and we went lighter. We went with a, you know, softer approach where I didn't do HIIT training. I only did 30 minutes cardio a day, instead of doing 70 minutes. Like, I did 70 minutes all the way through up until the Wednesday before my Texas Pro show.
Killer. Hey, on that, one of the questions I got asked was, you know, people that had messaged me had looked at your photos and said, looks amazing, but what feedback do the judges give? What do the judges see that probably most people would look at your photos and go, that's just perfect? And the judges look at it through a different lens and they've got a set criteria, etc. What was the feedback that you were given on things that you should be looking at moving forward?
So at the Texas Pro show, T. Mannion was the head judge, and his feedback to me was that I need to be softer in my upper body. My upper body is too hard. And they said I need more volume in my glutes and I need to be fuller going into the next show. We did it, like, Angelica kind of didn't agree with that. And she sent my photos to Sandy, the head judge for Olympia McKinney. Yep. And Sandy said, you know what, she just needs to be fuller. And so we came in fuller for the next show and we literally made it work within a week's time. And afterwards I went to Sandy and I'm like, hey Sandy, Angelica spoke to you about leading into the show. What's your feedback now? And she's like, everything was perfect. Your presentation was amazing. Your upper body is perfect. Like, don't get any harder. Maintaining your upper body and your lower body, the proportion is perfect, but we need more volume in the glutes. So looking at the glutes, they wanted more depth into the glutes and just bigger glutes. That's it. So all I need to work on is just, you know, getting that depth and getting my glutes even bigger. And that's what are we going to do leading into the next one.
That's pretty cool. Not a lot to work on, you know, like, well, no, plenty of work to do, but yeah, nice. Good feedback.
Yeah. So I really feel like, you know, I went there, I conquered, I got what I wanted out of the show. I wanted them to see me. I wanted them to learn my name. I wanted to come back and work on that feedback and, you know, show up the next time and say, hey, you told me to get bigger glutes. This is what I have.
Have you and Angelica had an opportunity to kind of make a new plan, or are you just sort of taking a break after the last? You haven't got anything in mind coming up?
We spoke to each other. We have a bit of a game plan where, you know, I told her the situation back home and she understands it, being in quarantine, that I can't do, you know, I can't manage my meals, I can't manage my exercises. So unfortunately, we're going to give this one a bit of a break up until I can get out of quarantine. Yep. Then I can start eating, you know, my normal meals. So we already have my meal plan sorted out as soon as I get out of quarantine. But now we need to wait to get into level 2 so I can get back into the gym and we can start the program.
Yeah.
So for the next, as soon as I can get into the gym, my 6 months is going to start. So I'm going to start working for 6 months, you know, being better, building those glutes. And by next year, we're going to look at either in the beginning of the year or the end of the year, going into a show before everything gets really wild and crazy. So if it's in the beginning, we're just going to, you know, see how it goes. As soon as she's happy with the feedback or as soon as she's happy with what she sees, she's going to say, okay, you know, it's time, let's go.
Oh, that's exciting. You're right in you're right in the thick of it now. That's really cool. You know, like a lot of people do, you know, that do get a pro card, go and do a pro show, and then they sort of sit quiet for a couple of years and don't really do a lot. But, you know, to have done, you know, 2 back-to-back and then already looking at relatively close, you know, time frames, getting back on stage, and that's going to be neat. A little bit of a campaign like, going. So
honestly, cool. Like it's a fire that someone just lit inside of me. And like, I just feel like I want to, you know, I have something to prove to myself. And not just to myself, but everyone out there, you know, you don't know who I am, but I'm going to show you who I am. Like, I want you to learn who I am at the end of the day.
Awesome. Hey, look, we're going to have to wrap. We could talk about so much more, but as we always do, we always hand over to our guests to allow them to thank those people that have supported them, helped them on the way, you know, friends, family, sponsors, and anyone you want to give a shout out to. So the floor is yours, Mariska.
Awesome. So the first thing I really want to do is I want to give a big shout out to Superior Hair Extensions. They did my hair extensions, and honestly, looking for someone to sponsor me or someone to help me out in this time period. They were the only company in New Zealand that was willing to help me. So big shout out to Superior Hair Extensions. They sponsored me 2 hair sets going to the States.
Hey, Mariska. Can they help me?
Oh, well, they have wigs.
I'll take a wig.
So big shout out to them. And then
whereabouts are they based?
They're in Auckland.
Cool, guys. Look, hey, ladies, if you need your hair done, hair extensions, go check them out, man. Support those people that support our athletes.
Yeah.
Sorry, back to you.
And then literally just Angelica, like Angelica Shira, she was really there. She was up early in the morning, up late at night, even early morning hours texting me, looking for feedback, looking for photos, like, what are we going to do? And like, she was literally there all the time. And even having her at the show itself, that was really amazing. She came backstage looking up on me and like checking my feedback, looking at my, you know, my physique, how the things going. So really big shout out to Angelica and then my husband. being backstage, like Angelica and my husband, actually, I'll be backstage having my phone, going on stage, doing my routine. And as soon as I get back, they have texted me everything they want me to adjust, like, okay, you know, walk a little bit more with your shoulders, you know, keep it up tight, or like smile a little bit more, don't look down, or you know, something like that. I've already have like 2 ticks from them each, like, okay, this is what you need to do. Yeah, that was perfect, or you know, something to go on, you know, before I go on to the next time on stage. So yeah, my husband phoned me every day, like just checking up on me, he checked through my routine constantly, like, okay, you know, adjust this, okay, no, do that. So yeah, they really helped me to improve. They helped me feel really good. And yeah, they just motivated me to keep going.
Awesome. Hey, look, once again, thank you very much for coming on. We're very lucky, and we will be following your progress with a very very closely. So and wish you all the best, but no doubt we will touch base at some of the shows this year whenever they may or may not go ahead, but we will touch base, and hopefully we get to see you on that pro stage again very shortly. So from us, big thank you, and to everyone out there, hey, we're almost through this, hang it out, and we'll be back to a bit of normality pretty soon, hopefully, and we can all hit that gym again. Till then, stay safe, look after each other. We're out of here.
Yeah.